Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Stone, we got a full house.
Hey, this is going to be a fantastic segment today. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Mike Belote. He's Vice President and General Manager, Atlanta Operations for Peak 10. And we're going to talk to the organizer of Disrupt Atlanta, Mr. Ryan Fries. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce from Marsden & Associates, Miss Ann Marsden, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, Ann, what are you guys doing for folks?
Well, Marsden Associates is a B2B-oriented marketing agency. We started back in 2001 really focused on marketing, consulting, and strategy and branding work. Mm-hmm. But as we worked with clients, which range from Fortune 1000 to technology startups, what we were seeing was that they were grappling with that shift that marketing has gone through over the last 10 years. And we reoriented the business to focus on complete agency services for B2B companies to do marketing.
Now, what are you seeing that the pain that they're having today as they compared to what they were having like 5 years ago?
Well, we've seen really three trends in marketing that have had a real significant impact on the kinds of decisions businesses have to make. And the first one is the shift to digital. And while that doesn't sound particularly new, there are things that have happened in the last 5 years that have really made a difference. The second trend we see is the technology of marketing has exploded. CMOs, they say today, now control potentially more of the IT spend than CIOs do in many companies. So trying to figure out and navigate which technologies to use and how to implement them has been a real challenge.
Are you talking about the marketing automation products?
Marketing automation is one of the key components of that, absolutely.
So you're seeing more and more kind of B2B firms embracing that?
We are, and it has started with the technology companies. They have been some of the more early adopters, and yet throughout the spectrum of companies, we find that they're still searching for whether or not they should make that investment. They're kind of scared of it because it just seems like one more thing to layer on top. It's more complexity, mm-hmm. and marketing certainly has become more complex over the last 5 years.
Because there was a time where a B2B company could just buy like the trade magazine ad and then kind of set it and forget it and be done. And now there's much more interactions with social media and kind of more individual channels.
You know, it's interesting. There has been, in the last 5 years, some bad news and some good news about the changes in marketing. Mm-hmm. The bad news is it is more complicated. You've got so many more channels, so many more things that you have to do at the same time. You can't set it and forget it anymore. But the good news is you can now measure it in ways that you never could before. You know, they used to say that people would say, I know about 50% of my marketing spend is effective. I just don't know which one.
Right.
Right. Well, today you have an ability to really track what's working and what's not.
So now what are some things that are working for your clients?
Well, actually, the first thing you have to do is create an integrated program. And you need to think of your website kind of as the foundation of.
So that's like kind of the hub of information?
It is absolutely the hub. And that means that it has to be compelling and it has to attract people. And then we talk about it kind of like a first date. You need to make sure that people first get out on the date, which means they have to find you online.
Right.
But once you get on that date, you need to be interesting. You can't be boring.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't talk all about yourself. And you need to focus on what you can do to bring people back for the second date.
Right. And that's a mistake I see a lot of companies make. They spend so much time saying, look at how smart we are. Look how smart we are. Look how smart we are. And they're not kind of holding up their vendors or their clients. And they're not kind of giving you a 360-degree view of their company.
That is absolutely true. It's about not talking about me, me, me. It's about talking about the buyer and the buyer's
right.
pain points. Because when you think about it, people are out there looking to solve problems. They're looking for information.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not finding your information, they're finding a competitor's. But if they're finding your information and all you're trying to do is output sell, then they're going to move on to the next.
Now, do you find that there's a shift in from the buyer's perspective that maybe at one time they needed the salesperson to explain things, and now they're a lot more educated and they're coming to the table with a lot more knowledge?
Absolutely. We talk about it, the buyer journey. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that you needed salespeople all the way through the buying process because they had access to the information.
Right.
Now, buyers have access to the information. And Gartner has projected that 70% of a business-to-business buying process now occurs before the person ever talks to a salesperson.
Wow.
Which means that that means that marketing has to step into that role to help sales by providing that information.
Now, is that a difficult conversation when you're talking to a client? Because, you know, at one point, the salespeople were the most important people at the organization. Because, you know, if you don't kill something, you don't eat, you know.
Right.
And now the marketing people have a bigger role in enticing the right person into the conversation so the salesperson can sell them something.
It is now much more a shared responsibility. We talk about sales and marketing alignment in ways that have never happened before. Sales and marketing used to be a little bit at odds.
Right, it was adversarial. Like, you know, sales would be like, well, I'd sell more if marketing would get me the right people. And then marketing people, I'm getting the right people if they would sell more. You know,
right.
Like they would
back. My leads are crap, right. So says salespeople. Right. Marketing always says, but I gave you all those leads. So, yes, now we talk about creating a service level agreement between marketing and sales.
Oh, wow. So create that synergy so they're all in the...
All in
together,
the same boat,
right?
Right. And they both end up at the table looking at the revenues and the return on the investment for both the marketing and the sales dollars. We, marketing, are supposed to enable sales today, not just go out and put up pretty fluffy things.
Right, and you can't get away with we're branding, right?
No. Not that branding isn't important, but lead generation is really the
mantra and the focus. That's where it's at now, right?
Absolutely.
So what are some of the most common mistakes you see in this business of content marketing? I bet you see some of the same stuff over and over, especially early in an engagement, right?
The first thing we see is that, unfortunately, people don't want to do what is now necessary to do. We talk about, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity. Mm-hmm. And when you don't know what to do, it's easy to fall back on what you've been doing.
Sure.
But putting out content that always talks about you and your product, not reorienting the lens to talk from your buyers and their pain points, that's one of the most common mistakes we see.
Yeah.
The other one is a set it and forget it mentality with your content. So, you know, people get really frustrated when they're told they need to continuously put out new information. And they need to look at their website not as a one-time thing.
It's not a brochure. This is a living, breathing thing.
No, you actually want it to be an engaging thing. That whole getting from the first date to the second date.
Right.
We talk about we talk about thinking about your website a little bit like a mini skirt when you go out on a date. You want it to be long enough to cover all the essentials, but short enough to keep it interesting. And you want to make sure that you also then offer things for people to do while they're there. What do you have for them to watch? What do you have for them to download? How do you get to the second date? You give them information that they've got to give you information in order to get.
Like engagement. So you need that engagement, that back and forth conversation.
Absolutely. You want the opportunity to continue the conversation. So you want them to fill out a form using marketing automation. Once that form is filled out, we have the opportunity to then systematically send them through email information to keep them engaged.
So email is not dead?
Goodness, no. Email is an essential component of the whole program.
Especially in B2B.
Essentially, yes. But the other thing to remember is, just like it's not all ads, email can't be all buy from
like
me, buy
pitch,
from me,
right.
Buy from me, right? It's I'm here to help you.
Mm-hmm. So now, can you walk us through what an engagement looks like with your firm? Like, what are the first conversations looking like?
It's so often that we hear people come to us saying, I need more leads. Or I hate my website.
Does anybody say I have too many leads?
We do have some people say our leads are for crap.
The wrong leads.
The wrong leads, right. So it typically starts with an assessment. What are you doing today?
Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing? What do you think has worked? And then we do that compared to what is your competition doing and what are you trying to achieve? By setting some realistic goals, we can structure a program that matches up, because it's always about budget and resource allocation, right?
Sure.
Nobody has unlimited funds.
Right.
So determining the size of the company, what they need to achieve in terms of the number of leads, we can construct the investment from their website, from their content marketing, from the other things that you do, because it doesn't stop there. Social media, as you mentioned, plays a real role. Some people in B2B don't understand that, but LinkedIn and Twitter are two of the most powerful ways to get your content out for people to engage and bring them back to you.
And that's where the marketing automation can help.
Absolutely. It's essential.
Now, what about trade shows? Do you find that your clients use trade shows at all?
It's very industry specific. In many industries, trade shows have died. And while we are big believers in face-to-face marketing, trade shows aren't always the most appropriate. However, I can name you certain industries, like digital pathology is one of our industries that we support. And you have to be at those trade shows.
Right.
So it depends.
What about, let's broaden trade show to events, where an event, maybe the client creates the event.
Absolutely. And you were talking about working with partners, using partners so that you create conversations that are broader than a particular product, but on a particular business problem, gives an opportunity for people to want to learn to come. We don't believe that sales is dead by any means. It's marketing's role to create those opportunities for them to build the relationships.
So what is your personal backstory? Because this didn't even exist when you were going to school, right?
Oh, goodness,
you're doing
no.
For a
But then again, I came out of Georgia Tech, so I wasn't exactly taught marketing.
Right.
However, I've been doing marketing forever. I started out of Georgia Tech in a technology firm and immediately went into the marketing department and have spent my entire career developing and managing marketing and PR and industry relations programs. In 2001, I went out on my own and started Marsden & Associates doing marketing consulting. And in 2010, at the request of our clients, we grew that into being a full-service marketing agency, really because of the changes that have gone on in the digital era.
Now, do you think that Atlanta has kind of a unique position with all the marketing automation companies here, that everybody's all fired up about that?
It's fascinating. Atlanta is definitely a technology hub, and marketing automation is really hot here. But it's almost like a closed circle. There are so many people who don't know about it, who are not aware of it. You know, those of us who live in it, we think that we're saying the same thing over and over and over
again. But in other parts of the country, they're not all as educated, I guess, about it.
And even in Atlanta, I'm really constantly surprised at the number of smart companies that continue to learn about this and don't yet know about it.
Now, where does mobile fit into your strategies for your clients?
Mobile is an undeniable component. You have to think of it as a whole. Anybody who creates a web presence who doesn't consider the mobile element has missed the boat tremendously, because I hear people all the time saying, well, my clients are older white men who are sitting at a computer, and they're not doing this. Well, that's not true. They may be at a soccer game, and they're using their phone to check out what's going on with some issue. So you have to have what's called a responsive design with your website, so that you render the information according to each device.
Any device that they happen
Correct.
To be.
Correct.
So where do you think all this is headed? Any trends coming up that we ought to be looking for?
Yeah, the next big idea.
Well, it's funny how we went from search engine optimization to conversion optimization, because it doesn't matter about getting people to your website. It's getting people to take an action on your website. And we also have gone from blogging to content marketing, which is the understanding that you very much need to blog. It's one of the best ways to create fresh, relevant content on your website and to be engaging. But you can't single thread anything. The trend is a very diverse set of tools that you use and a diverse set of channels. And it's your job as a marketer and as a business to pick the right ones for your audience.
Right, the appropriate message and the channel for your audience.
Matching message, channel to buyer, and stage in that buyer's journey.
Because that's kind of a mistake. Just because you read an article in Fast Company that a certain social media channel is hot doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be there.
Absolutely. We're very specific in our recommendations on which social media channels we use, and it very much depends on the business.
Right.
All right, I have 100 other questions, but we got to go to the next segment. But before we do, where can our listeners go to learn more, have a substantive conversation with you or someone on your team about these topics, because these are business imperative topics. These are not just nice to haves anymore.
And we do believe that they're essential for businesses to generate the kind of leads that they need. So two things I'd say, and thanks for asking. Number one, we'd love for you to come to our site, which is MarsdenAssociates.com. And the other thing that we wanted to let you know about is that there's an event going on March 5th. It's called Inbound Marketing Day Atlanta, and it's part of actually a global program that's going to be going on that week. But here in Atlanta, in Dunwoody, on that day, is a full day of activities. We will be presenting at that conference, and there'll be a number of noted speakers. And if you go to our website, right on the front, it'll tell you about Inbound Marketing Day for people to sign up. People who want to learn more, it's a great place for them to learn.
And that's a national event?
It's a nationwide, actually it's a global event that's being held in different cities with on different days through that week. Ours is March 5th.
Great.
All right, and the website again, one more time for Marsden?
MarsdenAssociates.com.
Well, that's simple enough. No, we got to have you back, and what I'd like to do, Lee, if you're up to, for this, I'd like to have you come back maybe with a local client, and you guys talk about how you worked it out and just and like dive into that relationship and how that engagement unfolded.
We'd love to do that.
All right, well, we'll
Thanks
make
so
it
much.
Happen. Yeah. All right, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have the guy. He's Vice President and General Manager with Peak 10. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Mike Belote. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
So what did you learn in that last segment? Did you pick up anything?
I did. I learned that we need to, all of us in the service provider industry, need to listen to our customers and proactively work with them and be responsive to the messages that they send us, and to work as best we can with the data that's with us to provide the best services to our customers.
Now, before we get too far into it, why don't you share a little bit about Peak 10, your mission and purpose?
Sure. So Peak 10 is a national provider of infrastructure and IT services focusing on data center related services. That includes co-location, cloud compute, and we offer a full suite of managed services, backup as a service, DR as a service as an example. My responsibility is primarily in charge of sales and operations in the Atlanta market for Peak 10. And as a team, our focus will be to work with our existing customers to continue to strengthen and grow those relationships, to service them, and then service them again. So as they grow with us. And we'd also like to forge new relationships with businesses that are not currently doing business with Peak 10 today. And we want to continue the tradition that Peak 10 has of servicing the community. Those that came before me and current members of my team have participated actively in activities and events that Peak 10 has sponsored to service the community, working in soup kitchens and helping build homes. Peak 10 really gives to the community. We want to continue that tradition in Atlanta.
And you recently opened a new facility in Alpharetta?
That's correct. This past year, we opened a 15,000 square foot facility in Alpharetta, actually offering 15,000 square feet of usable floor space for co-location, and we're happy to do that. There was quite a buzz in the market when we opened the doors to that facility.
I know, what was it, Stone? Was it a year ago about where we came to your facility in Norcross, one of your data centers, and met with Angela?
Hannah Clow? Yeah.
That's correct. She's my predecessor. Sure.
Right. Yeah.
And you guys, it didn't matter snowpocalypse or anything, you guys are doing business, right?
No, that's right.
I mean, that's important for a data center to know that it's a trusted place no matter what the circumstances.
That's right. And that's one of the many reasons that customers do business with us. We're highly available, so they don't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the huge events that occur like snowpocalypse, mm-hmm. although that's certainly relevant, but it's events that are a little off the radar. It could be someone out with a backhoe digging around the building and they cut into a power
right.
cable, or any disruption to any infrastructure that impacts a customer's ability to do business or access sensitive data is disruptive. and Peak 10 mitigates that risk for those customers.
And you mentioned earlier about the importance of giving back to the community, and you mentioned it briefly, but I'd like to get into a little more. Within one of your centers, the one in Alpharetta, you have a co-working space for technology firms. I mean, that's a bit unusual to have a company like yours want to serve that community who typically don't have a lot of money, but you want to grow with them. That can you talk about what does that happen in all the Peak 10s around the country, or is that unique to Atlanta?
Sure. It's a big part of what we offer in the Alpharetta facility.
It's part of the Beloit methodology. Beloit market methodology. Open up a center.
That's it. It's because of me and only me that exists. No, it's unique to the Atlanta facility compared to our Norcross locations. Mm-hmm. We do offer conference room and meeting space, but not to the degree that we have in Alpharetta. And that's a common theme at Peak 10, is that we're responsive to our customers. That's part of our high-touch consultative approach. We listen to our customers. And one of the trends that we see is that customers want to have large meeting spaces. We can accommodate 100, 125 people in our facility. And as a matter of fact, early this summer, we're going to be hosting an event for the Greater Alpharetta Technology Group, Technology Network, and they're going to come to our facility, and it's a spot where organizations and groups can meet, where companies, existing customers and prospective customers can come and host events. It's a big partnering hub for many technology providers in the Alpharetta area. So the facility itself becomes a meeting point. That's obviously great for Peak 10 because we can show off what we do best, show off highly available, gorgeous data center space. But it's also relevant because Peak 10 and the facility is the center of many different talking points. We can talk about issues that matter to our customers, such as security, cloud compute, how that relates to logical growth as opposed to just physical growth in the data center space. We're proud to do that, and I suspect that as Peak 10 rolls out more data center footprints around the country, that you'll see large meeting spaces be part of that offering.
Right, you're creating that kind of a holistic environment for your customer and potential customers.
Like, that's right.
Now,
and if I may add one more note to that, something to keep your eyes and ears open for, your listeners should keep their eyes and ears open for, is we are considering, it's not fully baked yet, but we're considering leveraging that Alpharetta facility to further the talking point as a incubator or accelerator for startup companies around the Alpharetta area. Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring that up.
Yeah. So, and that's a great area because that's where a lot of the health IT companies are based. There's a lot of entrepreneurship in the Alpharetta area.
Sounds like a great place for a business talk radio studio to some people in the room.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now we would be remiss to not mention the security issues when it comes to cloud computing and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about Peak 10 and what you're doing to, you know, protect your customers?
Sure. Security, you know, there are many trends that come and go in IT solutions, and many service providers try to address many of those trends. One of the trends that continues to be in the forefront of our customers' talking points is security. Because the stakes really do continue to increase. I believe that Atlanta businesses are aware that cyber threats do not recognize geographic boundaries. They don't recognize political boundaries. So on any given day, Atlanta businesses are subjected to cyber threats from around the world on a daily basis.
And because Atlanta is like one of the places where money is zooming through here.
That's absolutely right. And these cyber criminals, terrorists, activists, they do these things. They perform these cyber attacks for a variety of reasons. It could be for money. It could be just to simply prove that they can do it and wreak havoc. They can do it in a well orchestrated, well coordinated attempt to completely eliminate a corporation's ability to conduct business online. And it's a real threat. These are sophisticated terrorists. And unfortunately, many businesses are using outdated security systems, mm-hmm. policies, and procedures to combat really sophisticated cyber criminals.
Right.
And so that's one of many reasons that any business that has sensitive data, and many of these businesses that are attacked have the most sensitive data, whether it be healthcare information, financial information. And these businesses with sensitive data should really consider working with Peak 10, because we're well known as having very rigorous compliance program. Our facilities and our cloud infrastructure are hardened PCI and HIPAA compliant facilities and infrastructure. We can address these security threats that these businesses face.
Now, what does your typical business client look like? What is the sweet spot for Peak 10?
At Peak 10, we see a couple different kinds of buyers. There's the buyer that comes in and says, I have a business problem that I'd like to address. I know a little bit about IT, but I'd really like for you guys to advise me in my
So you're kind of almost their IT department, if they're that small, or you're working hand-to-hand with their IT?
Sure, many times not almost. Many times we are an extension of their organization. We are their IT department. But in addition to being their IT department and performing just the day-to-day service of providing physical and virtual infrastructure for these customers to run their business, we're a trusted advisor to these companies. Mm-hmm. That's one type of buyer. That's in our sweet spot, to answer your question. The other type of buyer that we see in the market is the buyer that says, I know exactly what I want. I don't need any advice or guidance of how I should go forward, but provide me some pricing, reduce that by 10%, and by the way, I need that in 24 hours. the first customer is more in the sweet spot of the Peak 10 customer profile, because that's where our value is fully recognized.
Right, because you want a relationship, and you want to be a partner, a trusted advisor, right? That's the type of client you're looking for.
That's exactly right. In any great relationship, there's a need and an ability to meet that need, and in that first customer profile, both are satisfied. Mm-hmm. And the second, you're just a vendor.
Like,
and
you don't want to be a commodity, right?
No, and that's exactly right. If your sole value is determined by a dollar sign at the bottom of a price page, you're a commodity, you're replaceable. And that's not where we want to be. And that, mm-hmm. and that's typically not where we are. We are a trusted advisor to our customers.
Can you share maybe a story where you started working with a smaller client and now they're a larger client, or you're allowed to talk about any of your clients?
Sure. Being relatively new to the organization, I haven't been exposed personally I haven't witnessed many companies that I've participated in and brought on and have seen them grow, but I know of companies, and it's very common within the Peak 10 customer portfolio where they grow with us, they come to us, and perhaps they establish a co-location footprint with us. We see it all the time across our customer base. And then perhaps they adopt somewhat of a hybrid. They have a co-location production site in one of our facilities, and then they set up a DR site,
okay,
leveraging our cloud infrastructure.
Time out for a primer. Co-location, DR, lay some terms on us here. I mean, I understand it completely, but Lee's lost.
Yeah, he's trying to protect me.
Well, don't worry. I've never been accused of being the most technical person in the room. But a customer,
I'll have to have Ann translate.
a customer may bring in their own equipment, their own gear, and manage it themselves in our data center. And that's
okay.
Co-location.
All right.
Or they may decide that they don't want to continue to buy hardware and manage software upgrades. Because in that model, many customers, you never cross the finish line. There's always more. And this is a benefit of doing business with Peak 10. You talk about that high-touch consultancy approach that we take with our customers. You never cross the finish line if you shift your focus away from your core competency and you become a manager of IT gear, constantly having to refresh it,
right,
constantly buying it, constantly upgrading software. So many customers continue, and this isn't a brand new trend, we know this, many customers begin to leverage cloud infrastructure and virtualization as a way of getting away from that model. And to your point about our customers growing with us, that's a benefit of doing business with Peak 10. We don't pursue a cookie cutter approach. Unfortunately, many data center service providers do this. They continue to throw a lot of space and power at IT challenges that our customers face. But unfortunately, that just creates another challenge, data center sprawl. So many of our customers ask Peak 10 to work with them to understand how to grow logically rather than physically and leverage our cloud infrastructure to set up second and third sites. And along with that come other managed services, such as DR as a service. For instance, last year, Peak 10 was the first service provider in Atlanta and in Atlanta, in America and Canada, in the Americas, to launch Cisco certified DR as a service on the Cisco platform. Mm-hmm. Now, others since have followed suit, but by partnering with industry leaders such as Cisco, we can bring to bear the latest innovations in technology and offer that as a solution to our customers. So, because we do that, customers can grow with us.
Right. And this is what you're thinking about 24/7, so your clients don't have to, right?
That's exactly right. We want our customers to focus on their core business, whatever that may be, providing exceptional healthcare or financial services. And because we do this so well, because our data centers and our cloud infrastructure, PCI, HIPAA compliant, we exceed the security and privacy requirements that many regulatory bodies and agencies have for these customers. Let us do that. You focus on your core business.
So now, what's your vision now that you've got fresh eyes looking at Peak 10's Atlanta?
Sure. A big focus for us, and I've said it already, but we're going to continue to service our existing customers. We really value our customers. That's one of the reasons that I joined Peak 10, is as I met the senior leadership team, the common theme throughout the interview process was a focus on our customers. We service them, and then we service them again. So in the Atlanta market, we're going to continue to provide exceptional service for our customers so that as they grow, they continue to grow with us. We're going to continue to forge new relationships with businesses that are not yet Peak 10 customers. We're going to continue to service the community through efforts such as the potential leveraging of our facility in Alpharetta as an incubator and an accelerator for startup companies.
And that area that you are in Alpharetta, you have room to grow there, right?
Absolutely. And this is common in the Peak 10 model, is that rather than build a million square foot data center, what we do is we build in 15, 25,000 square foot pods, and then we repeat that on a single campus.
Right. So your campus has room to grow. That's my point.
Absolutely. Right. 3 and 4x from where it is right today. Sure.
Exciting time for you.
It absolutely is.
All right. Before we wrap, I'm going to shift gears on you there. I got to ask you another question on a different topic, but I think the listeners will find some value in it. You're a seasoned exec, but this is a new post for you. Can you speak a little bit to what that is like when you're walking into an organization of the size and complexity and sophistication of a Peak 10? I mean, you can't go in there guns a-blazing, right? I mean, can you just talk a little bit about what that's like walking into that and getting your team up and going?
Sure, absolutely. Walking into an organization like Peak 10, where culture is established and there are best practices that have worked well in managing customers, working with them and addressing their requirements, you have to be aware of those. You're right, you can't go in guns blazing. But that's the reason that I joined Peak 10, is because there are policies and procedures in place that have existed since our inception in 2000. I mean, we're a 14-year-old company that has grown deliberately, methodically, and in the way that we approach the market, the way that we approach customer service. I wouldn't change any of that. If I was a potential buyer of these services, I would do business with Peak 10. So what my goal is to just enhance what has been working very well and bring the fresh set of eyes and ears to the Atlanta market and apply what has been successful for me in my previous posts and merge that with what Peak 10 has been doing and continue the trajectory of amazing growth and customer service that we've had.
Now, I know when we were in North Carolina, Peak 10, we have a studio in North Carolina, we were at an event there, and they embraced the community. It was everything you said that you're doing here, they're doing there. So it's good to see that, you know, it doesn't matter where Peak 10 is. That's your philosophy and values, and that's what you're doing.
That's right. I had lunch recently with our CEO, Dave Jones, and I just had to congratulate him. And I asked him, I said, how have you done it? You know, how do you do this? It's true, but it starts at the top. And I think that that's something that many organizations in our industry, outside of our industry, it doesn't matter the market vertical that you're in, leadership does begin at the top. And employees look to the senior leadership team as a model of how to behave, how to address a customer, how to address each other internally. And it really starts at the top. I mean, I'm very privileged and very humbled to be part of an organization like P10. These guys have just done a fantastic job of growing the company, being part of the community, and leading by example. Just recently, I was in Charlotte for the Charlotte Heart Ball for the Heart Association, Stroke Association. And next year, our CEO, Dave Jones, is going to be the chairman of that event. And we just continue as an organization to give, not just financially, but through sweat equity, time and energy.
All right, let's leave our listeners with your coordinates. Best way for them to go learn more, have a conversation with you or somebody on your team?
Sure. Visit our website, www.peak10.com, or come visit us at our Alpharetta facility off Edison Parkway, which is right off Windward in Alpharetta.
All right. Well, color us there. We got to come out and see the new facility, so or at least it's new to us. So that's not the one you and I went to visit, right?
Right. We went to the Norcross. You were mainly based in Norcross, and now you're in Alpharetta mainly based?
Right. Well, Norcross was Atlanta 1 and Atlanta 2, the first two deployments of our data center. But Alpharetta, Atlanta 3 is our latest and greatest generation of data centers. You have to come see this place.
All right.
Well, at the other place, they had like the 6'10 security guard. He was a really sweet guy. Yeah, he was huge.
You just
huge.
Can't knock on the door.
No, you don't. Just, it took us a half hour to get approved. They looked at us.
Our customers appreciate that.
Exactly. No, you guys are doing
it's not a negative. Believe me.
You're doing a fantastic job. Congratulations on the new post. And you're welcome back in the studio anytime, man.
Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, hang out with us. We're going to visit with one more guest, will you?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right, Lee, it's the time we've all been waiting for, the headliner to Grand Poobah of Disrupt Atlanta. Please join me in welcoming to the show Mr. Ryan Freeze. How you doing, man?
I'm fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me on. No pressure with the Grand Poobah.
Well, you've been very patient. I saw you nodding your head in agreement, I think, with a lot of what's taken place so far. But we'd love to hear about what you're up to. Obviously, it has the potential for some level of disruption.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it as well. I want to say something about the previous guest, though, as well. You know, centralizing your relationship on your customer is very important. I really appreciated that segment. And I can actually speak to, I have a client of mine that I consult that's with Peak 10, and they moved out of their Jacksonville facility into the Atlanta facility, and they've had a great experience with that, so it's pretty cool to be here.
So why don't you share a little bit about Disrupt Atlanta? What are you guys up to?
Yeah, so I've been in consulting for 20-plus years, and I've traveled all over to the Omaha, Poughkeepsie, Toledo roadshow stuff, and you go in there and you glad hand, and you guys have probably done this stuff yourself. You got this big box of business cards, and you're hoping you're going to hand them out to everybody, and you're going to walk away selling everybody in the room whatever it is your wares are, only to find out that when you get in there, they're doing the same thing, and now you're pitted to a corner talking to somebody about water treatment that you weren't there for. And you have to find a way to kind of ensconce yourself into the bathroom and walk away from the guy because you're trying to sell something to somebody else. And it kind of dawned on me that going to these events and trying to sell everybody as they're trying to sell you doesn't really work very well. So I changed my focus to where you try to focus more on the relationship with people. And now I tell people I'm in the business of making friends. I don't really try to sell anything that should sometime down the road. I have something that I can, do for you or you can do for me and that sort of thing as we get to know one another. Then organically we're doing things together, and it works out better that way. So that's kind of the direction and what it's, the feeling of it at its core.
So is Disrupt Atlanta an actual event?
Disrupt Atlanta is there's a series of events. We have events every 2 weeks. We focus on the, marketing initiatives, really trying to insert the people relationship inside of everything that you do in business to make sure that you're aware that every business, I don't care what you do, is a people-oriented task. So maintaining conversation, understanding who the people are that you're working with and everything is extremely important. So we have workshops and meetups and seminars and talks and a variety of things like that and conferences and just to try to cement that.
Now, is your clientele small business, big business, both?
Well, we focus primarily on the small to startup size businesses. You know, they're a little bit more agile. They're also a little bit more keen to learn.
But they don't have any money.
No, a lot of them don't have any money.
Is that okay? That fits in your business model?
Yeah, that's why you know, I'm in the business of making friends. I really enjoy talking to people and you know, sitting down and listening to whatever someone's vision is, and if there's a way that we can you know, work with them and contribute in any way for them to realize that, that's the most rewarding part of it for us. We really enjoy that.
So now, is when you're saying a business, a small business owner, is this a person who has a pizza restaurant, or is it a person that's a technology company with software as a service? Like,
that's interesting that you ask that, because everybody tries to kind of pigeonhole what people do as silo and all that sort of thing. We don't focus on any of that stuff.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Whatever business that you're in, whatever business you want to be in. Our last event, we had a 56-year-old financial planner and a 12-year-old person that's starting a crochet business. So, and then, I mean, it's quite
pretty
diverse.
Diverse, yeah.
Okay, so now they both are there. They go through the door. Mm-hmm. What does it look like? What do they see?
Well, I mean, we had a couple of guest speakers that day. We were talking about, you know, how to make yourself relevant, how to make sure you can consistently stay in contact with the customer, make sure you fully realize what they're all about. Talked about the differences. I try to give people examples of how to relate with a core brand value of what they're trying to, you know, pursue. And so one of the examples I use is, what's the difference between the New England Patriots and the Cleveland Browns? They're both football teams, but
one cheat.
one wins.
Oh, I thought we were talking.
Or you can go
about
Pittsburgh Steelers, or you can go New York Yankees and the Chicago Cubs, and so on. If you're a Yankees fan, you recognize that they have this brand of play. They're going to mm-hmm. continue to win. That's what they do. And you don't have high expectations in Seattle for the Mariners to do the same. So when you can relate to people that way that are either sports fans or recognize how this stuff operates, you try to want to focus yourself to be more of the Yankees brand of play than the Mariners brand of play.
Mm-hmm.
So
and now that probably resonates, right?
Yeah, it seems to very well. I mean, after all of our events, generally people stay over, and I like the camaraderie. We really like for one of the reasons why we have different businesses attend is because there's different voices in different arenas. And surprising to me, as many times when we talk about this stuff, if you observe someone like Apple or Starbucks or someone that's very established, very large, do something that's exciting, there's many times you can strip away some of the specific things they do for coffee or for electronics that will work for your brand as well. It's just because they're in the coffee space doesn't mean that they can't do something for what you're doing. And so that's one of the benefits of having a larger community, is that we're able to share a lot of things across different industries that work for everyone.
Now, is this a traveling show every 2 weeks, or do you have one location?
No.
It's like that card game that you're in, Lee. It's never in the same place twice.
And you don't know the address, and somebody texts it to you.
Until we get raided. Yeah, once we're raided, we have to move out. Right now we're doing it mostly all around Atlanta. We're putting in, in fact, next month we open our first campus, which is going to be in Norcross. It was interesting to hear about the gentleman there with Pink Tent about their colo stuff, and then, of course, the incubator stuff. We have 5,500 square feet that's dedicated for people to come in and co-work and have events. And
it'll be called Disrupt Atlanta?
That's correct. Campus One.
Campus
or
One.
Northeast Atlanta.
Man's got a vision.
And then, so this is a place where they can just have a desk, or they can have space, whatever they need?
Yeah, we have 10 private offices. We have a long open conference room, 2 meeting rooms. We're putting in a sound stage and a videography room and such, and very large open space with tables for co-working. And it's not for the purposes of making money. We're trying to make it so that it's accessible to people that need to get out of their homes or quit working at the local bistro and have a place where they can receive mail and synergize. So it's $85 a month for the co-working space, and that's all in. That's everything that you could need. And so it's less than a, you know, cup
where is
of
this place
day,
again?
So to speak. It's in Norcross, Unity Norcross. Drive, yeah.
So how did you choose Norcross as the first campus?
Well, that's interesting to say. I've traveled around all of Atlanta, and it seems primary focuses are inside the city, inside the perimeter, Midtown, Buckhead, and that sort of thing. And I felt like that particular part of the area didn't have a lot of these resources available. Although I meet a lot of people in those areas that have a lot of great ideas and want to do a lot of things, but unfortunately they're just not being serviced. And so we figured that would be a great place to begin.
And then so as part of the membership, you get access. The most important aspect of it, I would imagine, is the opportunity to be near other like-minded people.
Absolutely.
Where synergy can occur.
Yeah. And in fact, we call it kind of a business community center, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, you can sit around and talk and move into another room. In fact, we're building in a coffee shop inside of the space. So if you want to get up from the desk and have a regular conversation, as you generally would, you can go over there and do that. And a library where there's, you know, books on business topics and such, so that it's very relaxed. And it focuses on the interaction of the people that are there. My goal is for someone to come in there with a vision and they outgrow us and they go someplace else. That's kind of the graduation process. I don't want anybody to stay there long term. I hope that we can contribute to their success in a way that they move out of there.
Now, are you helping in that regard with like angel investment and VCs and things like that?
Absolutely, yeah. We have a lot of VC relationships that have done you know, a lot of this stuff. And what's really good about that for the VC side is this is a great way to concentrate talent and people that are looking to do things. And so it's easier for them to you know, bear witness to that and meet people in one space and see how things are working out, as opposed to all these, you know, they're spread across all of the Atlanta canvas, and working independently, it's much more difficult to surmise who's doing what and how well it's working. So, yes, we definitely have VC backers that are looking for possibilities of investing in those that are, you know, looking to do something big. We have a couple of events planned as well where, you know, the best pitch, you know, we're going to invite people to come out and pitch their ideas. The best pitch walks away with cash that day. That's a little bit different than some of these other pitch and plays that go on. They
right.
give us a great idea. Here's a plaque, which is great. but, you know, at the end of the day, you're
a
business
trying to do
something.
You can buy groceries with plaques.
Right. Yeah, put it on your wall with the rest of your plaque. you know, but we're trying to hand out some cash so people can actually execute an idea and mm-hmm. get someplace further down the road. That's at the end of the day what people are trying to do.
So now, are you still doing consulting with more established firms?
Yeah.
Like, is this isn't, I don't want to diminish it by saying a hobby, but this is your way of giving back to the community?
Yeah, no, that's probably a best way to say it. I mean, I still have a lot of very large clients that I consult. I travel a lot to satisfy their needs. But nothing is thrilling, or the rush of seeing something grow from an idea to really being successful in the payoff. And I had some early success with that when I was a younger man. That's what I was looking for more than anything else. A lot of these larger established businesses becomes a little bit more political, and you know, you got to make sure you do things in a proper way and satisfy this person and that person in different ways to come to the proper conclusion. But you know, the
you're a little more rebellious than that.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. Yeah, I enjoy that stuff. That's where the energy is. That's where the fun is. You know, that's why we chose the name Disrupt Atlanta. We're not trying to do business as normal. We're trying to change things, you know, in a positive way.
And then, so you're looking for more tenants right now?
Absolutely, yes. We have space for about 40 tenants inside of the co-working space, and we have a number of our private offices still open. So we definitely want people to, you know, if you're interested, you got, you know, limited funds, but a great idea, big dreams. We'd love for you to come out and visit and talk to us about putting it up.
And the website?
DisruptAtlanta.com.
Good stuff.
We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on all that.
And then you have events every couple of weeks there.
Every 2 weeks. We have an event tomorrow. It's called the Customer Service Marriage Counseling. because, you know, like she was saying earlier about, you know, the dates and all that stuff, that's exactly how it works out. You go out, you're trying to, you know, talk to one another. You put on airs at first, and then, you know, real stuff comes out, and you want to make sure that you do your best to keep each side happy in the relationship. But it really should be serviced as a marriage.
And then are you looking for speakers as well, or do you do that all in-house?
No, we do have some in-house speakers, but anybody that has great ideas that, you know, wants to spread some stuff, we're certainly open to that. Absolutely. We need anybody that has...
So you're looking for more brains?
Yeah. Can't have enough brains.
That's right.
We're kind of a zombie that way. You can't have enough brains.
And then the tenant that would be there could be at any... You know, you're looking for primarily relatively new startup-y, but they can be a little more mature than that.
Yeah, I mean, we have people that have five, seven employees. You know, you don't have to be a startup. You can be, right. You know, kind of in that beta phase, or, you know, just kind of getting things going on. Or, you know, you started something in your home or in basement or whatever, and then you got to the point where you feel like you need to move someplace. That's kind of the sweet spot where we're sitting right now. If you fly somebody into the Atlanta area you want to meet with, and you don't want to have to go to the, you know, whatever, that's places down the road instead of going into a nice facility where you actually can conduct business. That's what we're trying to meet.
And from a value standpoint, you want people that are kind of the servant leaders, like givers, that want to mentor and be mentored?
Yeah, and we've been extremely lucky that way, that people that have been attending all this time really feel like they're getting something out of the experience. And so when I do call on them to share some of their experiences, they're very keen to, because that's kind of the formula that we've been having all along. And so when they got into the pipeline at the beginning of it, they had other people that were kind of sharing their stuff. It's very open. And so we definitely want that to continue, and people seem to enjoy it.
Now, they get the space, but also do you help them with, like, if they need a web designer or they need some services? Is there, like, some magic Rolodex that you help them connect them with the right people?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I've got web designers and graphic designers. We've got voiceover guys. We've got commercial shooting, you know, videography in-house as well. We've got some talent there that handles some marketing stuff, that do some things that are kind of off the cuff and do some strange things that really jive up the business, which is pretty cool. But yeah, that's part of the experience. As you go into this community center, as I say, is that there's multiple talents there that do things that you don't do that can help your organization continue to move forward, and then vice versa, there's things that you could do as well.
All right. And the website is disruptatlanta.com, is that
disruptatlanta.com.
Right?
Disruptatlanta.com.
And that has the calendar events, and it has, mm-hmm. you know.
You can sign up right there. If you want to become a tenant, it's all right there for you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
No, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it very much. It's been a great day.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.